Good afternoon and welcome. This is Mike Harris, broadcasting on www.veteranstoday.com, also broadcasting on www.freedomslips.com, Studio B, Revolution Radio. This show is being recorded on Thursday, February 4th, 2016, to be played next week on Tuesday. My guest today is Ben Fulford. Ben, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, and it's February 5th here in Japan.
Ah, yeah, that's right. It is. You're across the international date line there. So it's February 5th for you. It's still the 4th for us.
Right.
So how are things?
Well, you know, I think that we're almost close. Victory is just within our grasp now, I think. The fact that the Iowa caucuses were so blatantly stolen, right, that alone should be enough for the Joint Chiefs of Staff to declare a constitutional emergency and, you know, temporarily start martial law until he can round up all these Khazarian mobsters and put them in jail where they belong and then clean up the system and have a real election, you know, without rigged voting machines and biased corporate media.
Well, those are two separate topics there, and you know that if anybody believes that Hillary won by a coin toss, I think they're fooling themselves. And for Ted Cruz to do the sort of fraud he committed by putting out false information that Ben Carson had dropped out of the race, it's just extremely unethical. And I hope you're right. But let me ask you this question: what are you defining as victory? Just the fact to get the Joint Chiefs of Staff to do something to take responsibility for the situation?
Well, I mean, but what needs to be done is we have a system that is really broken, and you can either have it collapse into chaos, anarchy, and have, you know, turmoil, or you can arrange for a proper transition. And it might be a good chance to actually start meritocracy. But clearly, though, what needs to be done in the United States is, first of all, you need to have the truth out there on all the, you know, airwaves and media outlets so that people know what's really being happening and that the country's been hijacked by gangsters. The other thing that needs to be done is we need to have a jubilee, you know, write off all the debt and then redistribute assets that were, you know, misappropriated. And I've done the calculations before, but I think that it should be possible to return funds stolen from the American people that would be equal to about $400,000 for every man, woman, and child in the United States. That's perfectly realistically possible.
Well, that would certainly be a boon, and it might get this moribund economy started somehow. But still, you know, in the U.S., we've got deeper structural problems here now, where we export out our manufacturing base. We can't make a hammer in this country anymore. So even if you gave people a lot of money, how is it put to productive use?
Well, there's some low-hanging fruit available for you, but clearly, though, that there is going to be a need for a cutoff or a cold turkey moment where you can't buy all this cheap Chinese stuff at Walmart anymore, you know. And what that's going to mean is, you know, you're going to have to issue a currency that is separate from the U.S. dollar, and it should probably be worth internationally about 50% less than the U.S. dollar, because that would then make America a really, really cheap destination to get a flood of tourists, and then manufacturers would be competitive again.
Well, absolutely. Essentially, what you're saying would be devaluating the U.S. currency by 50% to make the Chinese goods or other foreign-made goods more expensive and make it more attractive to manufacture and build things here in this country. I mean, could you imagine the price of a Nissan car doubling overnight and your wages stay fixed at the current valuation? It would be you know, be much more cost effective to build in this country then, and that's really one of my big disappointments too, is how the American people have been sold out by corporate America. I use the example of Coach, the leather products, good company. They, you know, I have a Coach belt where it says proudly made of the finest American leather and brass in the USA. And if you go to buy the same belt now, it says proudly made of leather and brass in China. And but they still charge the same price for it. They still want, you know, an exorbitant amount because of the brand. Quality didn't change. It's worse, if anything. Yeah. And so, you know, my response is everybody should buy knockoffs and quit buying the real stuff. You know, Cross Pens did the same thing. Johnson Murphy Shoes. All these manufacturers have betrayed their customer base, who are also their employees. It's a sad state of affairs that short-sighted.
Sure, but you have to, Eric, there's a couple of things here we need to separate. One is that there's two issues. One is the world as a whole, and the other is the United States, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, world as a whole, for example, China has lifted more people out of poverty than has ever been done before in history, and it's been great for the people of China. So, you know, they should be very grateful. And it's been really bad for the people of the United States, and they should be resentful. You know, of course, that's... But looking at, again, just from the United States point of view, like I said, if you issue your own currency, the other thing is that if you have a government-owned central bank, which is what you're supposed to have according to your constitution, you could start immediately a giant public works program. Okay, as you know, your infrastructure, your bridges, your roads, everything's a mess. So right away, there'd be a huge construction boom. And that would boost the local steel and concrete industries and give lots of jobs. That's one easy low-hanging fruit to be reached. And the other thing, of course, is that once again, you have a government-owned bank. You can start a big space exploration program, you know, funded by the government money. I mean, you've got, 95 million working-age people who've got nothing to do?
Yep. Yeah, that's exactly correct, and they're not, they have working age people with nothing to do, but the reported unemployment rate is 5.3% or something. It's you know, the government statistics have completely drifted away from reality.
Well, it's been a while. You know, the trick was when they started changing the inflation basket, so that they changed they have a basket of goods they use to measure inflation. And they've replaced what's in that basket 20 times or more. And each time the result has been to lower the inflation rate, which means that your GDP numbers, everything else is all fake. And, you know, American people's income has been declining since the early 1970s. Basically,
since 1972 is when it started to decline.
Which is also when the Nixon shock took place.
Yeah.
And you went to the oil spill. Now, the other point is that, you see, you have all these greedy oligarchs, right, have gathered, you know, astronomical amounts of money that they can't spend and they don't know how to spend. They're not spending productively. It's just sitting there. And that money needs to be redistributed. That's the other low-hanging fruit. You know, get everybody, for example, right away, do like Iceland and cancel all mortgages. So everybody just owns their house. That's it. And if you're renting a place, you give it to them. Now you own the place you rent, and you can pay the landlord government money equivalent to the rent so that they're not going to be unhappy. And right away, everybody's going to suddenly, they're not going to have to pay their rent every month. That's a lot of money that's going to go into the economy. You know, there are many, many other things that can be done. Now, internationally, too, I mean, you know, outside of the United States, we really do need to revamp the world. They're out of date. They don't fit the real world anymore, and that's happening. The Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank is a good example. The Europeans abandoned the Americans because the Americans refused to recognize that they were no longer 50% of the world economy. They're only 16%, so they no longer have the right to dictate to everybody, you know, based on facts. And that means the UN has to be revamped, and there's a lot of international crime that has to be dealt with. For example, you have the WHO now, with this ridiculous hysteria campaign about Zika virus or something, which is complete BS. Why aren't these people being rounded up and put in jail? You know, they should be. They're they're spreading lies and panic in order to sell vaccines for pharmaceutical companies. That's a crime. They belong in jail. We need to have some sort of international roundup of these people. It can't be limited to the United States. Certainly here in Japan, I know exactly who needs to go to jail and why, starting with Richard Armitage and Michael Green, the secret rulers of this place. And then there's a lot of other traitors here that you know, we will start rounding them up. But more important is that some sort of coherent strategy needs to be come up with to do this in a way that's really good for the planet as a whole. And, you know, again, the Americans have a lot to do within their own country, too, to clean up all the mess that's been left. But we can do it. We've got to the point where the momentum is there. One more push and we can take us over the hump, you know. And certainly arresting Hillary Clinton and a lot of those other fools in Washington, D.C., Karl Rove and the whole Bush family, all those people, put them in jail. Perp walk them on the TV with handcuffs so people know that it's not the same anymore. And then you can have a press announcement saying, you know, there's an emergency. Our country's been taken over by gangsters, and now we're cleaning it up. This can be done.
Let me agree with you here, because I think everything you've said makes good sense. I think we don't have any problems that we can't devise solutions for. But we still have the only problem that we have that we can't deal with is that we've got people who profit off of human suffering, and they're in positions of power, and it's very, very difficult to bring them to any kind of justice short of something like you said, martial law or a military uprising or even a civil uprising from coast to coast. It's a very, very sticky wicket.
But here you have a blatantly stolen primary, which is a perfect and visible excuse. And now, unlike before, it's out there. It's not, they can't cover it up like they used to. They're losing their control grid. So, again, the other thing you need to do in the United States is you need to get a look at the stock market and some forensic accounting, and you'll find out that, you know, Vanguard, Blackstone, a few of these other funds are controlling everything. And then find out who owns and controls these funds and confiscate them. That would right away take away the corporate power from the criminals out of their hands and into the hands of the people. And this needs to be done. I'm being contacted by some of these oligarchs, and I think they are in surrender mode, you know, but it needs to be done in an orderly way. Otherwise, like I say, you're going to face societal collapse and chaos there if it's not done properly.
So when you say these oligarchs are in surrender mode, they realize that the jig is up, that they're going to end up, that they'd rather cooperate and get a lighter sentence or get off altogether than they would fight this thing and tough it out because they know they're going to lose.
Yeah, and the other thing that they're scared about is that, you know, they've been on a depopulation agenda.
Yes.
And okay, there was a time when, sure, you know, we forget about it, but it was not that long ago in human history when we were having tens of millions of people starve because of, we were having mass starvation. Okay, sorry. It was not that long ago in human history when we were having tens of millions of people starving to death. And the need for birth control and organized, you know, keeping the population in line with resources was a legitimate goal. However, at some point that morphed into something where they were trying to reduce the population through all sorts of means. And they've been putting sterilizing chemicals in daily products. They've been putting nasty stuff in and vaccines, you know, sterilizing people without their consent. And they've been actually manufacturing and spreading diseases. And they also were caught, you know, a few years ago paying farmers to grow fuel instead of food because they're trying to create a starvation event. So these people have been engaged in mass murder, and they're very, very scared of the consequences. They thought they were doing good. They say, well, we've got too many people and it's destroying the planet. but they're scared because what they did was enormously criminal. And they're afraid of the consequences. So we need to make sure that there's a truth and reconciliation process, not a revenge process, so that we can look forward, not backwards, to create a better future for this planet.
I think that is very judiciously stated, and I think that most people in this country feel a great deal of anger towards those who have caused these problems to them, their families. There's been, you know, the middle class is wiped out. People have worked their whole lives and are virtually penniless now, right as they're facing retirement. The baby boomers have been fleeced, and there's nothing left. And there's some angry people out there who are going to want to extract a pound of flesh. And I think what you're saying about truth and reconciliation is a modest set of goals to set. I think that's very agreeable. I think that's well thought out.
Well, I mean, you don't have to string these people up from lampposts. You just have them return the stolen property to the American people. Like I say, that would be about $400,000 for every man, woman, and child. So, you know, let them pay blood money. I mean, you know, it's $400,000 in your bank account is probably going to give you more satisfaction than watching these people being strung up, you know? And that can be done. It's. I mean, I'm not exactly sure about the numbers. I haven't done the math recently, but it's an awful lot of money. All that money that's in these foundations and in the stock market that were appropriated through central bank fraud. We don't want to punish legitimate entrepreneurs here, only these criminals. Just redistribute that. I mean, that's going to be an incredible boon. You know, I've said the same in Japan where the theft was more recent, but, you know, it would be right off the bat $100,000 for every man, woman, and child in Japan if they gave back the stocks that were handed over through extortion to these Zarian mobsters. You know, I mean, they threatened Japan with earthquake weapons, and they actually hit Japan on 311. So that justice needs to be done, too. And we know who's behind that. The idea of extorting money through mass murder cannot be allowed. You know, these people will have to face justice. But the other thing, of course, is that we know that the U.S. military, the Russian military, the Chinese military are cooperating in many levels. And this is especially true in the Middle East, to stop this Zionist insane project. And that's being stopped. I mean, you see the UN saying that the Russians giving the UN notice that Zionism is an international crime that has to be stopped. And it's happening. Israel is now, their Air Force can't fly. Neither can the Turkish Air Force. They're in surrender mode. Israel is ready to surrender as long as, they're not going to let themselves be hauled off to concentration camps. They'll fight to the death if that's the case. But that's not going to happen. Nobody has ever talked about doing that. They're such a paranoid, brainwashed people, but nobody, absolutely nobody, is out to get them. And they just have to stop their insane project of building a greater Israel and then ruling the world from Jerusalem, which is, it's not going to happen, okay? And they need to, then the world has woken up, especially outside of the West, where they never had as much control. This insane project is seen for what it is, and it's going to come to an end. That is going to happen, and it is happening now. And the other project that I've been pushing that I still want to have happen is to set up an international future planning agency to do big stuff. Not central planning in the Stalinist mode, but to do big things like turn the desert green, explore the universe, replenish the oceans with fish, stuff like that. We need to set up a whole new agency to do that. That's based on the sort of planning agencies that were developed by the Japanese and the Singaporeans that had incredible success. We need to do that. We don't have to shut down the World Bank or the IMF. They can stay there, but we can have something with, 100 times the budget. Trillions of dollars a year for the planet, for the greater good. When we need to, start negotiating with the Chinese and with the Europeans and all the other BRICS powers, etc., to set this up, to plan for a future, to turn this planet into paradise. We can do that. We have the ability to do that. We just don't have the systems in place right now. Unfortunately, the model that these capitalists have been using is based on individual greed, and the result, as we've all seen, is it's been created a black hole. Money has been going from the poor to the rich, and then from the rich to the super rich, and the super, super rich, who have more money than they could possibly use. And then they say, all right, well, we'll set up charitable foundations, and the foundations have, in some cases, done good work, but in a lot of cases, they've carried out horrific agendas, you know, based on misguided ideas, such as population reduction.
Oh, I agree with you here, and it's something that we need to discuss, and that is, you know, we don't have any long-range planning mechanisms. Everything that is taught in the West in particular is based on a five-year plan. And we need to get into the mode of thinking in a five-year plan, a 10-year plan, a 50-year plan, a 500-year plan. Where do we want to be? Because if we don't have a direction, we're never going to get there. We're going to wander around aimlessly. And I think that is something that really needs to be put on the table and discussed openly.
Absolutely. I mean, what sort of planet do we want to build here? You know, what sort of future do we want? And most people agree that, you know, on a lot of things. I mean, there should be no problem, for example, having virgin nature and high population density side by side. I mean, I live in the second most highly densely populated part of Japan, which is a very densely populated country. And yet there are wild birds and animals, you know, wandering around the streets. This is possible. You know, we need to figure out what sort of paradise we want to create on this planet. And right now, unfortunately, it's all been greed and exploitation and no coherent direction. And the only people who were running this planet were all this horrific agenda of killing 90% of the population. They thought that was the only way to save the environment. Plus, they thought that, you know, they're getting rid of these low-quality humans. They can improve the human gene pool. I mean, there are Nazis. And they took over the United States, and they took over Japan in this coup d'etat. And they came very close to setting up the world fascist government and you know, starting World War III and killing 90% of us. Fortunately, saner heads in the Pentagon prevented them from starting a nuclear holocaust. And that's good, but we need to take it one step further, and we need to come up with an alternative vision, because the people who run the planet now have done some good work. Okay, I'm not going to say that they didn't do anything. They've taken a lot of people out of poverty, and they've tried to, you know, set up nature preserves and stuff. But the fact is that humanity has wiped out 49% of marine species and 40% of land species in the past century. That's the biggest extinction since the dinosaurs. And it's caused by humans. We need to stop that. And that doesn't mean, there's nothing to do with global warming, because we all know it's BS. It has to do with destruction of ecosystems and an economic model that doesn't count nature as having any value. Therefore, it must be canned before it can be valued. You know, that whole sort of fundamental thinking is wrong, and that needs to be changed. We are facing a planetary emergency. This is an emergency. We're destroying our very only home. And we need a coherent, you know, vision for the planet as a whole. Of course, you know, the Chinese, for example, they finally figured out what the Japanese did, which is that if you pollute your environment, you know, recklessly in the name of industrial progress, you'll end up with cities that you can't live in because they're toxic. And now the Chinese are going on a huge cleanup campaign. And that, by the way, is going to be offer a lot of business opportunities for Americans, you know, helping the Chinese clean up their rivers and their air and set up nature preserves. But that needs to be done worldwide. India, for example, is an awful mess, but they could have the same population. And they're Hindus, so they know all about living harmoniously with animals, and they could have, you know, wild animals, and the rivers could be filled again with fish and dolphins, and all that stuff can be done. And we're ready to start. So we need to get, you know, concrete discussions happening. We need to actually get the ball rolling. There's going to be a G7 debtors meeting in in Japan in May, and there's going to be a G20 and stuff. But these forums don't get the job done. They just they do very little. They're very, very...
You know, they seem to maintain the status quo. I don't see any change coming out of these things that's meaningful or productive for any man in the street on any part of this planet.
No, that's why we need to do something entirely different. And again, some kind of inflection, some kind of event needs to take place so that people know that it's not the same anymore. You know, I've talked about this before. Up until now, it's taken a world war, a mass industrial mechanized murder to force us to change how we run this planet. I say this time we do it without a war, but we can do something like what they call in anthropology a liminal event, like a wedding ceremony or a coming of age ceremony, some kind of big, party or something to let people know that it's not business as usual, just to change the psychology.
Your point about a jubilee would be a sufficient event. I think that would be a just cause in order to have a global celebration to celebrate the forgiveness of debt and to repatriate the money that has been swindled from the people of this planet and give it back. I think that would tell people that things have changed. But how do we get to there from here?
Well, like I say, I mean, in the United States needs to, first of all, clean up its political system, and then, call upon the BRICS and the Europeans and say, all right, we're gonna change things. And you still have, the United States still has that powerful card, which is the world's most powerful military, and they say, all right, we're ready to defend the planet, we're ready to, we're facing the planetary emergency, we're ready to help defend the planet together with the Russian and Chinese and Indian and other militaries, and we need to set up new structures to do this. And we need to, march into the UN and clean it up. I mean, first of all, the victors of World War II are no longer the absolute dominant powers of the planet. That means that the tables have to, the seats have to be redistributed. And you can't have too many people, because any corporation knows that if you have more than about seven people running things, there's gridlock. This is something the military has also figured out. It seems to be our natural sort of biological sweet spot. It's about six, seven, maybe nine people, like a small gathered band.
You're right. You've got a good point. And the best size group is between five and seven. That's where you get your most productive work. That is your most effective team.
So, we need to set up some kind of team to start overseeing the restructuring of the now failed international architecture. It needs to be totally revamped. And the problem has been, of course, the oligarchs who run the United States have been reluctant to share power, and they'd be resorting to mass murder and all sorts of threats of terror, anything to prevent themselves from being removed from control. But they are losing. They've lost control. They're losing control. I mean, it's happening already. And again, it's got to be about looking forward, not looking backwards. For example, I think the Rothschild, Saxe-Gotha family group that basically runs Europe.
Yes.
They realize that things have to change, and I think that they're willing to work with us. Okay. The problem seems to be now the people in New York and Washington, D.C., these are the people who are now blocking things, as far as we can tell. So something has to be done, and that's why I say a military government, the fact that this election has been rigged and stolen is now obvious. That's a perfect trigger, saying, hey, wait a minute. We were supposed to be a democracy. What happened here? And move in. It's an emergency. It's a hijacking of the government.
This is, well, as you said, a clear and present danger to the government of the United States. That's really what this hijacking of these elections is. That's truly what it is. Because if they hijack the elections, we don't have a legitimate government. It becomes something else.
Yeah, and the thing that people need to know is that this family group, you know, the, what we call the Bush-Clinton crime family, they really are, well, they're two different families, but, for example, Bill Clinton, as far as we can tell, is the son of Winthrop Rockefeller. I mean, if you look at photographs, they're identical. And he wasn't some, you know, single mom boy risen from nowhere.
Yeah, he wasn't some schlub from the backwoods of Arkansas.
Or you have Mark Zuckerberg, who somehow got this Facebook thing where he's controlling everybody's information. I don't think he got that legitimately. Certainly, Bill Gates did not suddenly come up with Microsoft. He was given that by the Watson family, who are Nazis, okay? So we need to identify these people, and it's not that hard because you just go to the big foundations and
Well, you know, we've done some work on this. You know, Gordon Duff and I have talked about this, and our best estimate is there's about 7,500, maybe 10,000 people in the U.S. that if they were rounded up and dealt with, that the country would get better overnight. Overnight. It would be so dramatic, and it's such a small, small number compared to our current prison population.
Sure. I'd say start rounding them up, put them in communication, cut off all their communications, put them in a solitary confinement, don't let them talk to each other, and then start, you know, as that the Bible said, the truth shall set you free. Start telling the truth. I mean, that's the best thing. Let people know what happened. Are your country hijacked? Who hijacked it? And start a debate. What do we do from now? You know? But there's so much latent potential in the United States. You know, according to the American Academy of Scientists, you have 6,000 patents that have been suppressed for so-called national security reasons. A lot of that could be made public, and it's going to create a boom. And then a lot of people are saying we want disclosure about what happened with secret space programs, all that kind of stuff, too. Fine. Open up all the closets, open up all the underground bases, let it all out. Why not? You know, fine.
No, it's past time. And, you know, I'm of the baby boom generation. I remember growing up watching Redstone rockets take off from Cape Canaveral and develop into the Mercury, Gemini, and Apollo programs. And I'm just so disappointed that in my lifetime, it got killed. It got put on the back burner and starved to death for lack of funding.
Clearly, something happened. We were probably under some kind of quarantine because we had been infected by very, very dangerous sort of form of leadership or whatever. And I think that if we get rid of the infection, that we'll, the quarantine will end, we'll be able to go to the universe. You know, and if not, then we'll turn this planet into the universe. This has happened before, you know. Even suppose that it's the ionosphere is it. There's nothing, you can't get beyond it. All right, let's suppose that, I'd rather not be the case, but just suppose that's true. Well, there was something known as the Cambrian explosion, right? Mm-hmm. For 3.5 billion years, life on Earth could only be seen with a microscope. Well, the most you could see in the macro level was maybe brown sludge or something, right? And suddenly, in almost overnight, you get animals with a trillion cells. I mean, everything became a trillion times bigger, or 100 trillion, or more or less, like in the human. And a whole new magnitude of life, order of magnitude appeared. We can do the same thing on this planet. We can do another Cambrian explosion. That's the sort of thing we can actually do now. We have the tools. We have the computing tools. We have the energy. We have everything needed. And the other thing, of course, is right now we all get old and die, and I don't think anybody likes that. We have the ability to, you know, stop that. We got to get working on this. There's so many things we can do once we're set free to decide our own futures. Because that's what this is about. Right now, we are a slave people, and we do not decide our future. Some unseen people have been guiding us with wars and fake events and murder and lies and hurting us God knows where. Well, now, you say, no, we are going to decide what sort of future we're going to build. We're not going to let some hidden controllers hurt us like sheep over a cliff. That's not going to happen. And that's what it's all about. And I think there's a lot of predictive programming in Hollywood, like the movie The Island, you know, where these people suddenly come out and they see that they've been lied to, they've been living in an underground hole when there's a whole world out there for them. We're ready for that moment now. And we're we're really, really close to having it happen.
Would you care to speculate on who or what you think these unseen controllers of this planet are?
Well, I mean, I won't speculate. I'm a reporter. I'll tell you what I found out firsthand. I went to Italy. Okay, first of all, you know, I talked to David Rockefeller, and then I started talking to the Rothschilds, and they said the problem is in Italy, right? So I go to Italy. I go to the P2 Lodge, right? Freemasons, and they tell me that they're the old Roman ruling families, and that they control the Vatican and the Mafia and other things. And they tell me, I mean, this is the story they told me. I'm not saying it's true, but they said that 26,000 years ago, they were given orders by extraterrestrial beings on how to run this planet. So they had a plot that they ran it to, and that they ran this plot in accordance with celestial movements. Okay? And this is like a 26,000 year procession of the equinoxes, you know, the Earth
yep.
wobbles.
As it goes above and below the galactic plane.
But anyway, these people said that their plot ended in 2012 and that they weren't sure what was going to happen next, okay? But we had people who claimed, and then, you know, I actually went there and they claimed that they took their orders from the Black Sun, which is some kind of entity that exists in thought form and that controls their minds. You know, I was very nearly killed when I went there, but this is what I encountered, okay? And I think that whatever it is, that entity is no longer running this planet, and that something very fundamental has changed, a very deep level. But these are the people who were running the planet, and they were, their motto was Ab Chaos Ordo, right? Order out of chaos. And they were trying to create hierarchical structures and a large centralized world government. They were moving towards that. But now these people have kind of lost the plot. And there were other people with other plans. I think Bush and the Nazis wanted to have, the Georgia Guidestones is a pretty good example, summary of what they wanted. They wanted to have a planet of about 500 million people in perfect harmony with the environment threat, with a sort of Nazi eco-paradise. So they were coming up with this vision, and to do that, they needed to kill 90% of us. And these were the people running the planet. And then you have these wacko Zionists who say, no, they're going to rule the world from Jerusalem, and everyone's going to be their slave, and they're just going to, you know, live like Egyptian kings while the rest of us, you know, toil away at the pyramids. Well, that's not going to happen either. So now we found out suddenly that, you know, the people who were running the planet, they've kind of lost it, but there's nothing to replace it. We're sort of in a...
So we've got a vacuum.
Yeah, we're entering uncharted territory. Okay, we've never been here before as a species, so we have to come up with a plan. We have to come up with a direction, and it has to be coordinated with everybody, not just the United States or the Anglos, or whatever. Clearly, we need to get the Asians on board, the BRICS, everybody. But it can't be a rule by committee, a feel good sort of chaotic thing. We need to come up with a very clear plan. And right now, the man who has the ability to trigger this is General Joseph Dunford, because he can go in and clean up the situation in the United States, which will then impact on the UN, the World Bank, all these other structures that are controlled secretly by people like David Rockefeller. Although, I'm not sure he's still alive. I phoned the Rockefeller Center to ask if he was still alive, because people told me he wasn't, and they didn't answer me. So I don't know. But whatever. These people are no longer really in control. And the other thing that, when I went to Italy, they said that if I went to the BIS, they would introduce me to aliens who run the planet. That's the Bank for International
Settlements, yes.
In Basel, Switzerland. And certainly, if you want to find the point where conspiracy theory and so-called mainstream news join, the BIS is a good place to start, because, you know, and financial newspapers like the Wall Street Journal and the Financial Times will say, yes, they write international banking rules, and they're like the central bank for central banks. But if you call the BIS, you say, well, they don't actually report to any government. The BIS is a sovereign entity. The Swiss government doesn't control it either. So here you have this institution that controls world finance and yet is not controlled by anybody, any government, any visible structure. So there is where you find the forensically where the trail led to. But then it also led to Rome, London, and Washington, D.C., the three centers of power, right? Rome was spiritual, London financial, and Washington military. And then, so these are the things that you actually find forensically. And right now, it's clear it's the military that's got to take the action because it's a crisis. And that means that General Dunford and the people in Washington, they need to take action. Now is the time. It's the time to strike. It's not the time to sort of diddle and daddle. And you have a clear emergency in the United States where your election's being stolen openly and viciously by criminals who have been murdering and murdering and murdering for years to try to keep their control going. So there you have it. And we need to get this started. And, I think picking up the phone, everybody who's in the military needs to go up the chain of command and ask why this isn't happening. Certainly I've been talking to the Chinese and the Japanese and everybody else I can to try to get this happening. I set up a foundation, White Dragon Foundation. It's basically run by me with my home address as its address. But the purpose of this foundation is twofold. It has no money in it, maybe $40, okay? But the purpose was to train journalists so that people would always have access to the truth. The other was to set up a future planning agency. And that's one vehicle I set up to try to get this ball rolling. It doesn't mean I need to be in charge. I'm perfectly willing to get, cede control of it. But something has to, that first step has to be taken. As Lao Tzu said, the longest voyage starts with a single footstep. We need to take that step. We're ready. We're at that brink. We can push it now. We can get across that elusive border that's been, out of touch, out of reach for so long. We're there. We've got the critical mass now.
Well, one of the things that you and I discussed in a previous interview was the fact that we'd like to head toward a Star Trek-type society.
Yeah.
How do we get there from here? What are the first steps? I think everybody would prefer that over this nightmare that we're living in now. We want to be done with this failed model that we're in, and we want to move on to something better. How do we start? How do we get? What are the first steps we should be taking?
Well, Star Trek, the vision is a meritocracy that's very transparent, and everybody can see how people climb to the top and they can pull them down if they don't like it. So it's a sort of combination between meritocracy and democracy that you see there. So what you can do is you can start with organizations that are already meritocratic. That means the Pentagon, the Chinese Communist Party. It means a lot of corporations. For most people in corporations, they climb up the ladder through their own talent. Unfortunately, at the very top, it's a rigged game, but all right, we're going to break that glass ceiling and remove those people. You have the big corporations, the militaries, the government bureaucracies, all these meritocracies that already exist. We need to coordinate them and set up, a few competing centers. We don't want to have a single Stalin-like monolithic control grid, but we need to work with what we have now, what the structures that exist now. We don't want to, believe me, you don't want to have a French Revolution scenario where you start chopping off heads and then you end up with chaos and riots in the streets.
Because once that starts, it's really hard to put it back in the bottle. I've had this discussion with another guest of mine a while back that if a French Revolution starts, they're easy to start, but they're really tough to stop.
Yeah. So again, in the case of the United States, clearly the military-industrial complex and the bureaucracies need to, first of all, clean up the corruption inside and the nepotism and all the bribery and all that stuff. But you have a place to start there, and the Chinese already have a meritocracy. We can then set up a new division of international power at the United Nations. I mean, clearly, the current structure of you have these permanent members of the Security Council. Four of them out of the five are European or Western. That doesn't represent the world, right? We need for, I mean, I've, for example, suggested you have one seat for India, one for Africa, one for China, one for Asia, other than China and India, one for Europe, one for you know, America, something like that. One for the Muslims, and then set that up as the new kind of permanent members of the Council of the United Nations to more reflect the actual people of the planet and the economy of the planet. And that's one thing that can be done. The other is, like I say, the Asia Infrastructure Investment Bank and the other international organizations are good and can continue and should be developed, like the BRICS Bank. But I, again, my personal plan has always been on top, or in addition to this, a future planning agency to channel Western creativity in a good direction, away from eternal wars and seizing of assets around the world, towards, you know, being good for the planet. Okay, so there's the places to start, but you know, clearly the United States is the in the mess, so that's just one place to start. And then, you know, I think we're ready. I mean, and I'd like to personally hear from some U.S. military here in Japan, so that we can start cleaning up Japan. I know that Richard Armitage has been reviled, and he's been the secret president of Japan. Well, he's no longer there. And if necessary, I'm offering myself for the job of cleaning this country up, you know, to make up, you know, compensate the Japanese for all the trouble we've caused them since George Bush took over U.S. foreign policy in 1985. That's when, you know, the United States stopped being a friend and became a terrorist towards Japan. So we need to, you know, really compensate the Japanese for all the horrible things they've done, destroying their economy and destroying their creativity and forcing their population to shrink, you know. And I can turn that around in a year. I can get these people with a growing population, a growing economy, and double living standards within a year. I've put out yesterday in Japanese a detailed plan of how to do that. Basically, it's what I just talked about, Jubilee.
Well, it has been done before. I mean, you look at the work that Vladimir Putin did when he took over from what was his name? The drunk. Yeltsin. When he took over from Yeltsin, and how radically the standard of living for every Russian improved under Putin's leadership.
Yes, you can do that in the United States. You can do that in Japan. You can do that in Europe too. And it's just a matter of returning stolen funds and redistributing assets. I mean, these billionaires and zillionaires, they have more money than they know how to spend. I mean, there's only so many beautiful women you can have, so many delicious meals you can eat, so many cars you can buy. They're way beyond that anyway, you know.
It's been done before. I look at, I'm going to switch subjects a little bit, but I look at Putin. He's my hero these days. I mean, this guy seems to be a stand-up guy, a man who truly cares about his country, his culture, and his people. That's my impression as an American. And we were always taught to be fearful of the Russians, and there's nothing to fear. They're so much like us.
All right, but let me tell you something about Putin, since we're on that subject. Last summer, I had an actual genuine Russian FSB agent staying at my house for about a month. And she runs a bodyguard company that provides bodyguard services for Russian oligarchs, okay?
Mm-hmm.
She told me that Vladimir Putin isn't real, okay? What Putin is a symbol, okay? When she told me that, I was surprised. But if you go back and you look at pictures, or you look at the different pictures of Vladimir Putin's ear, and you can see there are at least six Vladimir Putins, okay? And the original is long gone, either that or he's in deep hiding. But what the point is that the Russians know that a single leader like Kennedy could be assassinated, and that can derail a whole program. So what they've done is they've created an immortal leader, okay? So there are so many Putins that they can't assassinate a Putin, and then suddenly Russia will change directions. you know, no matter how many times the head is chopped off, a new one emerges. So they're now, they've got a system that, that's immune to change by assassination. And in a way, you know, the United States could do that too. I mean, but, you know, better to have somebody who's actually risen to the top through competence, and everybody can see who he is, and know that there's a huge field of talent ready to replace him or her when the time comes. But you can't leave yourself vulnerable to a single charismatic leader who can be killed and then everything changes. And that's what the Russians figured out. And the Americans should have figured that out when Kennedy was killed. And now they need to do that. They need to set up a...
The U.S. was hijacked when Kennedy was killed. And, you know, we know George H.W. Bush was involved. He was at Daley Plaza that day. They pretty much identified who was behind it. Johnson agreed to step into the presidency and cover for it. But, you know, that's a different story. I don't want to get us too off track here, but that's when America was truly hijacked, was when that. And we've had these other events that have occurred since then. But we need to find...
Example could be the new Putin, and he can represent the kind of collective decision making of the American people, so that you know, saying, okay, you know, we're gonna restart this country, we're gonna reboot it, we're gonna, you know, get us back on track the way it's meant to be, and you know, get the ball rolling. Time to start. And we need to identify, we already do, but the obstacles. Here we have Bill Gates, for example, rigging the thing in election. So go get Bill Gates, arrest him. Do it in front of the TV camera. Hillary Clinton, arrest her. Do it in front of the TV camera. Get Obama to admit that he's lied about his background, that his father's not some African politician, but he's an American communist. Okay, fine. Frank Marshall, right? Let him tell the truth, you know, so that... You know, we can start rebuilding.
No, I absolutely agree. I've got some concerns for Trump too. I really do. I, you know, he got robbed on that election. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He was robbed. You know, Bernie Sanders was also robbed. Yes. And you know, we can't let that happen to our election process. So if I was Trump, one of the smart things I would do, and I would come out publicly and say, if I get the nomination, I'm appointing Ben Carson as my running mate. And there's a strategy behind this, and the strategy is that by appointing Carson as your running mate, you've got two outsiders. Yeah, two guys
that's a good idea, but we're going to have to wait until November to do this, you know.
But there's more to it than that. And then, you know, if Trump would make such a bold announcement, he might be able to peel off some what would traditionally be Democrat voters to participate in the Republican primary, to support another black man in a position of power. And then, if I was Trump, I'd be scared to death that, you know, a guy like Ted Cruz or Rubio or Santorum, any of the other ones behind him, that they would fall into the role of Lyndon Johnson and after the assassination do everything they could do to cover it up. So I think Trump could protect himself that way.
Before that, you need to declare an emergency, saying the election process has been rigged. You need to put all these people in jail. They cannot rig it again. They cannot assassinate and terrorize and bribe their way, back into power. And then, once you have that, then you can sort of redo the election process so that you actually have a genuine democratic choice of leaders. I mean, we all know that Ron Paul would have been president if it had been democratic years ago, or Al Gore, you know, I mean...
Ross Perot, if he hadn't been interfered with and threatened by the Bush cabal.
Yeah, so this time, you know, you cannot... I mean, sure, I mean, the current flawed process is not going to work, even if you have Trump and Carson, unless you get these vote-counting machines, rigging machines removed, and the people who did that whole thing put in jail. That's George W. Bush, Jeb Bush, Clintons, all these people, they need to be put in jail where they belong. They're gangsters, they're mass murderers, they've engaged in systematic bribery and assassination to take power illegally in the United States, and they need to go to jail. Maybe later they can be forgiven in the Truth and Reconciliation process, but right now, they are the problem, and they need to go.
I absolutely agree. 110%. I will call. I'll try to reach out to General Dunsford tomorrow and recommend that he listen to this radio show and do what we're suggesting here. I think it's a good idea. I think the time is way overdue.
Yeah, and let's just make it happen. Enough talking. Time for action. All right. I'm gonna look. It's time for me to walk my dog. So.
Okay. Well, Ben, thank you very much for the time. Really appreciate it. Really enjoy having you on. Every time I have you on, somebody puts you up on YouTube, we get 250,000 views, and then it disappears. It's the darndest thing.
Okay, well, let's not let them disappear this time. All right.
We won't. All right. Well, Ben, thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate it. Have a good afternoon.
All